Our guest today is Teresa Mathers. Yes, her last name is Mathers, just like the name of the Leave It to Beaver star that the baby boomers grew up with. Teresa is married to Jerry Mathers, the Bee. About 5 years ago, she moved to a new town in California and was looking for a way to meet some nice people. She noticed a small blurb in the local newspaper about an upcoming monthly meeting for the Santa Clarita Valley Rose Society. Not really having any experience growing roses at all, for some reason, she was intrigued. So she took a chance and decided to attend a meeting. And the rest, as they say, is history.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Teresa, welcome to Rose Chat.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and I think you might have someone there with you. You want to introduce him?
I certainly do have somebody here. I have my very dear husband, who many people might know from a little show called Leave It to Beaver, and he is Jerry Mathers.
Hi, guys. Yep, that's who I am, and I've been an actor since I was 2 years old and did Leave It to Beaver in the 50s and 60s, and I've worked with Alfred Hitchcock and Bob Hope and a lot of other people. And Teresa is the big rose person in our family, and but I definitely help her a lot, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's certainly nice to meet you all. You know, I have been accused for years of being the Eddie Haskell of the group, so.
Somehow we believe that. We certainly believe that about our Chris. Teresa, you did something that would freak many people out. You walked into a room full of strangers at a Rose Society meeting. So what was that first meeting like for you?
Well, actually, it turned out to be so nice. And just a little background, I had moved here to the Santa Clarita Valley to be with Jerry. And after being in Santa Monica for 21 years, I was actually looking for a place where I could make some new friends. And I saw an article in the local newspaper about a rose pruning demonstration at the Santa Clarita Rose Society. And I thought, you know, it must be a place where I could possibly find some really nice people. And, of course, just being around roses, not having a lot of experience, I thought maybe I could also learn some interesting things as well. And the great thing that happened was that it was such a warm and inviting environment when I went into the meeting. Everybody was so nice and friendly and just very fun. And I was immediately hooked, actually. The information was very interesting to me. And now I'm, 5 or 6 years later.
Okay, right.
It's just so much. I've gained so much and have learned so many things. So I'm very grateful for finding the Rose Society.
Now, you have learned a lot about roses, but you learned some other things. You went into another area of the Rose Society, and that was photography. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I've actually always loved photography, and I started just taking pictures basically just in our backyard, and as I became more involved, I was also learning about the best roses to actually take photos of, considering exhibition and some of those other factors, and really started as a hobby. And what has happened is it's sort of evolved a bit for me. I became a member of the American Rose Society and noticed their calendar contest, and actually thought, like, a couple of days before the deadline to submit roses for the 2015 calendar, And I got very excited, and I sent in the 10 photos that I was allowed to send in. And very surprisingly, three of them made the calendar in some of the smaller photos. They have three small photos and then a large photo, which is a full page for each month. So there's 12 of those, of course. And so I was very, very excited. And then for the 2016 contest, I entered another 10 roses. And even more overwhelming was I actually won the month of May. So my little Marietta miniature rose is featured this year on the May page.
Well, it is exciting, and it is beautiful. This is a beautiful rose, and it's a rose that neither Chris or I are familiar with. Tell us a little bit about the Marietta rose.
You know, I just actually purchased it. We have a rose auction every year at our Rose Society, and it's one that I've always kind of had an eye on because the form of it is so unique. It's actually a little bit hard to explain, but it is a miniature, so it's you know, very small. But the petals, they form such a beautiful sort of almost like a puzzle. It's just, I guess maybe everybody can kind of take a look and see what that is, but it is a beautiful kind of a pink, very dark pink miniature.
Well, I'll tell you, it's beautiful. When I was browsing your blog earlier and saw pictures of it, and it's a spectacular rose, and then I went and grabbed my calendar and said, oh, there it is.
Oh, well, I think there's some calendars still available if anybody wants to purchase them, as far as I know, you know, through the American Rose Society website.
Well, that's sure a pretty one. Are there other roses that you would tell us about that are your favorite roses? I know rosarians have a really hard time with choosing a favorite, but perhaps ones that were favorites this year. That's kind of how I decide what a favorite is. It's what was most spectacular the previous year. So tell us about some of your favorites.
I love the St. Patrick rose. I think that's really unique because of it has sort of a green tint around the petals. I know that's a big winner in exhibitions. I'm also very fond of Marilyn Monroe, which I think is one of the parents of St. Patrick. I've had some very nice, beautiful roses that I actually exhibited for the very first time, and was very surprised that I won in a category of fully open bloom with my Marilyn Monroe. So that is definitely a favorite. That's a beautiful rose. Gemini is beautiful. I guess I kind of tend to go more toward the hybrid teas, although I'm getting a little more interested in the miniatures as well, because some of them are so unique.
Well, I was going to say, you're in good company. I'm a hybrid tea man myself. Jerry, what about you? What's your favorite kind of rose?
I like the hybrid teas. You know, I like them all because I can go to the Rose Society meetings and see so many beautiful roses. That's one of the problems that I have. Almost everything I see, I want to get one of them. We're running out of space for them, but, you know, roses are just, they have so much meaning, you know, for weddings and all sorts of times through life that you can wear a boutonniere. So, and they're all so pretty that it's just amazing that when you grow them yourself. My family has always lived on property, and my dad never hired a gardener. So even when I was doing Leave It to Beaver, Saturday morning was always when we went out and gardened. Now, he wasn't in the Rose Society, but just for decorative purposes, he had many roses around the property. And so I used to cut them, and we would basically grow them just for the house. But so I've always liked gardening, and, you know, especially with Teresa having all these roses, I'm the one that usually goes out, and when she gets a new one, I'm the one that has to find the right place for it with her advice and dig the hole.
That's it.
Teresa, I was going to ask you, what's your current rose count?
85, although a lot of them are very young plants. I've also taught myself how to root the roses. And actually, I didn't teach myself, but I learned from some of the folks at our Rose Society. But I've been successful pretty much most of the time. So a lot of the plants are small. But I think the count now is about 85. We had a really bad drought this year, and they were struggling. So I've worked really hard to kind of keep them all alive.
So the problem with the drought was not so, it was the drought, but also we were on very limited water. So all of California, you only can water your lawn 2 and 3 times a week. So, and with the weather we have out here during the summer, it's very, very hot. So it puts a lot of stress on all the plants here.
So what are some of the techniques that you use to help keep the roses hydrated?
Soil is very important.
That's right.
Where we live, it's very, very sandy soil. So around your plants, and when you're planting them, you want to make sure that you have a lot of mulch, which can absorb it. Because if you just put them into the ground, it's very, very likely that it's going to go right on through it, and your plants won't have a chance to actually basically drink it. So a lot of it is soil cultivation around each of the plants.
We also do the watering late in the evening and very early in the morning. So, you know, it kind of has a chance to soak in before the hot sun comes up.
That's definitely some good tips.
Now, what is your peak season there? I'm in California quite often, and there's always roses in bloom in California. But what do you consider your peak season there?
The peak is around probably just about the beginning of March through May, you know, end of May or so, kind of March, April, May is really when you see the most beautiful roses here. And because of the warm weather, we actually have our rose show in November. So what we prune everything a third back. And so we do have a beautiful rose show always the first Saturday of the month of November. And they're gorgeous. They're just gorgeous. So that's kind of why that happens, because of the pruning in August.
So do you have a dormant season with your roses?
Yes, it's really kind of about now. December, January is really the dormant time here.
Teresa, back to your Rose Society experience. When you and I talked before, you mentioned a mentor that had helped you with to be more successful with your roses. Could you tell us a little bit about the mentoring program?
You know, everybody in our society is so helpful and open to all of us helping each other. I feel particularly privileged because our president is Kitty Belendez, who I know has a very amazing reputation in the rose world, and she has been so helpful to be open to teach me as much as I certainly want to learn, and she is the co-founder of our Rose Society since 1992, as well as editor of our award-winning Rose Ecstasy newsletter. And she grows over 300 roses and has authored hundreds of articles. So I feel very privileged to be in her company. I certainly learned so much from her.
I think that's the way we learn best, is by those who take the time to teach us. I've had the same experience in my Rose Society. Those who've been growing longer or growing more just have so much to add. And now you're going to have a little granddaughter that you're going to be teaching, I'm sure, all the things about growing roses.
Yes, we're very excited. She's just turning 6 months. And seems to be mesmerized when we take her out in the backyard. And she just loves looking at the trees. And it's very exciting to watch that with her at such a young age. So we're excited to, you know, have a little area of our garden that we'll plant seeds with her. And Jerry and I will kind of help mentor her, I guess, in that respect. And we're really looking forward to that.
I've always done gardening at home, so it's pretty much a family tradition. And my kids also did a lot of gardening when they were here.
Yes, he has 3 grown children, so.
I think that's one of the best parts about being involved in any horticultural society is that, you know, that seems to be a theme wherever we go, is this family lineage or heritage of gardening that we see.
Exactly. It is
because it's a very great bonding experience to go out there with your kids. It was a good bonding experience, and I knew that every Saturday morning, if I was going to go someplace else, I was going to spend a few hours out in the yard. And it was also a nice way to keep up the house. It made our house look a lot nicer, and it gave us a pride of ownership that we all had for the house.
In my family, I have the heritage of an 81-year-old grandmother that went to the doctor and said, "I need a pill." And the doctor said, "What do you need a pill for?" And she said, "I need a pill that makes me strong enough to work in the garden." So those that came before us, they do inspire us, it's for sure.
Guys, thank you all so much for just taking a few minutes to talk about your this great love and passion you have for roses. And it's so good to talk to you too, and hope that we can all meet sometime in the near future.
That would be great.
That would be so nice. We would love that. Thank you so much for having us on the program.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you very much.
If you want to learn more about Teresa and Jerry Mathers' rose gardening adventures, follow Teresa's blog at rosedelight.com. Also follow her on Twitter at @myrosedelight. And if you're interested in receiving the American Rose Society 2016 wall calendar, visit their website at rose.org. That's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Until next time, happy gardening.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.